Good evening. Tonight's reflection is the final one in our series, Glad You Asked. And the title of tonight's talk is Hasn't Science Shown Us That the Bible's Account of Creation is Wrong? As we'll see, this is a topic that's been discussed as long as there's been something called science, and probably for longer than that. It's a big topic with lots of fascinating detail. And it's important stuff. If it's not something that already interests you and engages you, then it probably should be. You can guarantee that most of your non-Christian friends and colleagues already think that they know the answer to this question, and that it's yes, science has shown that the Bible's account of creation is wrong. And they probably think that deep down, you know that too. You just haven't admitted it to yourself. So don't stop thinking about this when I stop speaking. Go and read more. This book by John Lennox, a professor of mathematics at Oxford University, is recommended on the church news sheet. Now, it's a relatively new book. I confess I haven't actually read it, but that just goes to show how much stuff is out there. Here's three books that I have read, which I found helpful. One of these, God's Undertaker, is also by John Lennox. Now, it's a slightly older book. I suspect Can Science Explain Everything is an updated version covering much of the same material. Science Fiction by John Blanchard is quite a bit shorter, so it may be a good place to start. And I'd also recommend The Devil's Delusion by David Berlinski, who's not a Christian, but has some fairly sharp words to say about atheists who he sees often misusing science in the name of their beliefs. But in the time I've got, what I'll try and do is give you some big picture thoughts to help you have confidence, if you don't already, to know that the answer to tonight's question is no, science doesn't contradict the biblical account of creation. And then I'll talk about why perhaps so many people think it does. And I'll talk about what role science does and can play in understanding and evaluating accounts of creation, not just the Christian one. And then I'll conclude with a few thoughts about what the biblical account of creation does teach, why that's important, and what it means for us. So back to our question, hasn't science shown us that the Bible's account of creation is wrong? Well, to answer that question, we must first ask ourselves, well, what is the Bible's account of creation? What is it teaching us? And to answer that, we need to ask first, what answers does it contain to what sort of questions? Because there can be more than one sort of account. There can be more than one sort of question and more than one sort of answer. So, for example, you receive a gift. There are lots of questions you might ask about your gift. Why have you been given a gift? What's the reason for it? Well, maybe it's your birthday. That's the reason why you've been given a gift. Maybe your gift is a mysterious black rectangle, metal on one side and glass on the other. You might ask, what does it do? What's it for? Well, it's a phone. It's for speaking to people. That's its purpose. Some gifts might pose other questions. Some might ask you to ask questions about what they say about the giver. If, as a wife on her first Christmas morning with her new husband, you excitedly tear open the wrapping paper to find he thinks you'll be happier with a Hoover, that might well cause you to ask serious questions about your husband and how he sees you. Other gifts might make you ask, well, what do they say about me? If you get extra strong deodorant for Christmas, you might well be asking, do I really smell that bad? These sort of questions are not about the physical thing itself. They're about other things. Now, they're still valid questions. In fact, they're probably more important questions. But they're not physical questions. Philosophers call them metaphysical. And they're questions that science can't really help much with. Now, of course, we might also ask physical questions. What's it made of? How does it work? When was it made? What happens if I drop it? Or perhaps in the case of the Hoover, threw it at him. That's where science helps us. Science has the answer to whether it's made of plastic or metal, how it turns speech to electronic signals and then to radio waves and back again, whether it's old or new, how high you have to drop it from before you crack the screen. So, what sort of answers does the biblical account of creation contain? And to what sort of questions? What is it teaching us? And perhaps as importantly, what is it not teaching us? What I am going to say to you is that the biblical account of creation teaches us about why the world was created. It teaches us about the purpose and meaning of existence. It teaches us about God, and it teaches us about ourselves. It's answering the questions that tell us about life, questions that science can't answer. It's not teaching us about how the world works, or what it's made of, or how old it is, or even how the process of creation worked. Because the Bible isn't a science textbook. It wasn't written as a science textbook, and it shouldn't be read as a science textbook. Now, in some ways, what I'm saying should be obvious. God's word was written for us, but not just for us. It's for all people, all places, and all cultures. It was for the people of the past, who don't have the scientific knowledge as we understand it today, and it's for the people of the future, when some of today's scientific certainties may have been shown to be embarrassingly ignorant. And God's word certainly wasn't written by people like us. Well, there were people like us in many important ways, but there were also people very different from us, and even from each other. God, in his wisdom, gave his word through people in certain places and certain times, and in certain languages, and in certain cultures. And God spoke to those people in a way they could understand and communicate with the ways that they had. For instance, here's how astrophysicists describe the way in which they think the fabric of the universe expands or contracts following the Big Bang. It's part of a scientific account of how the universe developed. It's called the first Friedman equation. Now, don't ask me to tell you what it means or how to use it, but apparently on the right-hand side is matter, radiation, energy, and the intrinsic curvature of space. Well, what would an ancient Israelite scribe or prophet have made of that if God had revealed it to him? When the writer of Genesis wrote about God placing two lights in the sky, that's because the writer understood that the sun and moon were two lights in the sky. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer to use his own words and understanding to express God's truth. The Holy Spirit didn't interject to point out that, well, actually, one of those lights is a massive burning ball of gas and the other is just a shining rock, and that we fly around one whilst the other flies around us. Now, if Genesis was a science textbook, this would be a big problem. If the Bible taught that the sun and the moon were both literal lights in the sky, it would be wrong. But the Bible is not a science textbook, and the fact that science tells us the sun is a massive burning ball of gas and we fly around it, and that the moon is a big shiny rock and it flies around us, that doesn't make Genesis less true. If anything, it makes God's awesome works even more awe-inspiring. So, if this is the case, why is it that our question for tonight, and most people in secular Western society, assume that there is a clash between science and the Bible? Well, I'm going to suggest there's two reasons. Firstly, it's because some Christians have wrongly insisted that the biblical account of creation is a scientific explanation. And secondly, because there really is a clash, but not the clash the question assumes. Now, on the first point, some Christians have confused what it means for the Bible to be authoritative and true with the idea that every word had to be read as literal, historic, scientific truth. Now, the theologian N.T. Wright has suggested that this might be a sort of perverse reaction to the rationalism of the Enlightenment. Rationalism said you could only call something true if you could prove it by reason from scientific observation. For some Christians, then, who absorbed this way of thinking, you could only make valid arguments about truth from Scripture if you treated all Scripture as a scientific account. But, as I hope I've demonstrated, that's simply not right. John Calvin, who was no slouch on the question of the authority of the Bible, put it this way: the Holy Spirit had no intention to teach astronomy. He would rather speak childishly than unintelligibly to the humble and unlearned. And there's still plenty of this misplaced rationalism around. The website answers in Genesis, for example, an organisation that's reasonably well known in the evangelical world, insists that the whole authority of the Bible, including its authority on matters of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, is dependent on there having been a seven-day literal creation. And even in my time here in Bellevue, that message has been preached from the front of the church, although perhaps I should say it was by a visiting speaker. Now, that's not to say that God didn't create the world in seven literal days, but just in such a way as it now looks billions of years old to our current scientific understanding. But it's wrong to say that that's what the Bible necessarily teaches, and it's wrong to hazard the authority of the Bible on that point. The dangers of getting confused about this have been long recognised. Here's what a prominent church leader said. People know something about the earth, the motion of the stars, the cycles of the years and seasons, from reason and experience. And you could add, from the investigations of science. Now it is a disgraceful and dangerous thing to hear a Christian, presuming to give the meaning of Scripture, talk nonsense on these topics. Now, this isn't a recent quote from the culture wars in America. It's not from the time of Darwin and the debates about creation and evolution. It's not even from the days of Galileo and Copernicus. It's a quote from St. Augustine, written around 415 AD, 1600 years ago. And Augustine goes on to say that we risk people dismissing what the Bible does teach, the resurrection of the dead, eternal life, the kingdom of heaven, if we stake its authority on the truth of things it doesn't teach. And of course the other thing that Augustine shows us is that this is not a new issue. It's not like everything was fine until science suddenly became inconvenient from Christianity as people become more enlightened. That's what some atheists might have you believe, but it's not true. Now I said the other reason that tonight's question is so common, despite it being based on misunderstanding, is that there's a clash. But it's not a clash between the Bible and science. It's a clash of worldviews, or belief systems, between the Christian worldview and a materialistic worldview. So it's not a clash over two competing physical accounts of creation, how creation made, what it's made of, and so on. It's over what I call the metaphysical questions, the questions of origin, meaning, morality, destiny. Now I should make an important point here. None of this is to say that science has nothing to say about things that are taught in Genesis or the Bible. The biblical account of creation might be dealing with the big questions of life, the metaphysical questions, rather than the physical questions. But it is dealing with reality. Creation is not a comforting story like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus. It's not fantasy or mythology. And science, of course, deals with reality too. So there is some overlap. So, for example, I think it's fair to say that the Bible teaches that the material universe, as we know it, was created by God from nothing. It would be a problem for the biblical account of creation if science proved the universe never had a beginning. So to put it another way, that the universe was created is a fundamental truth of the Christian faith. How it is created is not. But just as Christian worldviews must engage with reality and be seen or show how they can explain it, non-Christian worldviews must also, if they're to be taken seriously, engage with reality as science has revealed it to be. So, just to look at the questions of origin. Most scientists now think that the universe had a beginning with the Big Bang, from which we can still hear the distant echoes ringing around the universe. And most scientists agree that the universe appears like it was precisely designed to support existence and life. For instance, if just one of the properties of the universe was off by just one part in 10 to the power of 59, the universe could not exist. That's as accurate as you'd have to be to hit a one-inch target if you fired a bullet at it from the other side of the observable universe. That's not just accurate, that's incredibly, mind-blowingly, impossibly precise. Now, it's not hard to see how a universe created from nothing by an eternal sovereign God explains these things. A materialist worldview says nothing exists apart from what is physical, so the universe is all there is, ever was, and ever can be. A materialist worldview must also provide an explanation for what science tells us. So, for the materialist, if the universe is not eternal, it must have come into existence of its own accord. And for some materialists, if the universe looks perfectly organized, then that can only be because there are an infinite number of universes, each with different fundamental constants. And if there's an infinite number, then there's bound to be one with exactly the right combination of constants to create and sustain the life-supporting universe we know. Now, those explanations could be true, but they're not science. Science can't detect or measure these parallel universes or prove they exist any more than science can detect or measure God or prove he exists. So as I've said, the clash is not between science and the Bible. It's a clash between worldviews, between competing observations of what, competing explanations of what we see. Science isn't on one side or the other of the clash, and science isn't even the referee. But what it can do is provide us with evidence that we evaluate when deciding whether a worldview is a coherent explanation of reality, whether we can believe the worldview to be true. And there's much in science, I believe, where the Christian worldview gives a much better and much more coherent and much more satisfactory explanation of reality as science reveals it to be than do the alternatives. Take, for example, Stephen Hawking's attempt to answer the question of how something that he believes to be all there was, is, and ever has been, had a beginning. He states, because there is a law of gravity, the universe can and will create itself out of nothing. Is that a satisfactory answer? Does it even make sense? Surely a law of gravity isn't nothing, so how can a universe be created by it? Where was the law before the universe? How can it even be a law if there's nothing for it to be a law over? How can anything create itself? As John Lennox retorts, nonsense is nonsense, even when spoken by famous scientists. So, unless we misunderstand what the Bible's account of creation teaches, science doesn't contradict it, because science is simply providing answers to different questions from those that the biblical claim to creation answers. But science may well cause us to ask questions that only the Bible's account of creation and the Christian worldview can satisfactorily answer. So I've talked a lot about what the Bible's account of creation isn't. To conclude, I'd like us to turn back to thinking, with hopefully newfound confidence, about what the biblical account of creation is, and the truths that it does teach us. The Bible's account of creation tells us why the world exists. It was made by an eternal God, a God who created it, sustains it, and who calls it very good. That's why we have an ordered universe, governed by laws we can discover and describe, laws that are perfectly designed to sustain existence and to sustain life. A universe that, as the psalmist says, declares the glory of the Lord. Atheism tells us the cosmos is a product of impersonal, arbitrary laws or forces doomed to end, as T.S. Eliot said, not with a bang, but a whimper. The Bible's account of creation tells us what the purpose of life is. We are created to know, to love, and to live in relationship with our God. We were made to be part of his creative and sustaining purposes in our world. We were made in his image, and life is a gift of God. That's why we can appreciate beauty and love, why we can know hope and fear, why there is right and wrong, why we are not satisfied merely just to live and to die, why every human being has equal value and worth. Atheism tells us we're simply accidents, worth nothing and of no significance, hopeless, drifting alone in the universe, Morality is a fiction, rewritten to allow the powerful to satisfy their desires before they blink out of existence, just the same as the weak. Atheism tells us that we are masters of our own destiny, but at the same time it declares that our destiny is like our lives, nothingness, futility, meaninglessness. The Bible's account of creation tells us about ourselves. It tells us we've rejected our purpose and preferred our desires. We have hidden when God sought us, and preferred to be masters of nothing than heirs of everything. We are broken. We break others, and we have broken the world. We need rescued and restored. Creation needs made right. But the Bible's account of creation tells us too about God, a loving, personal God, our Father, who longs to walk with us in the cool of the garden, a God who makes promises and keeps them, a God who rescues, a God who restores, a God who will make all things right. That is why we can hope and trust. That is why we can live without fear and give without counting the cost. That is why to follow him and walk in his path is not slavery or blind obedience to power, but liberation to be complete and whole, to be who we are made to be. These are the things that the Bible's account of creation tells us. And as we continue in our service, let us celebrate their truth and worship the God they reveal. Amen.